Our speaker tonight was born on August 10, 1969 in Waco, Texas. He began his path at the 10th and Colcord Street Church of Christ under Dalton Gooden, minister and father. Andrew received his bachelor's degree in theology at Southwestern Christian College in May of 2000. This seminary training focused on spiritual enhancement of the Word of God. Andrew had privilege to experience several lectureships under various ministers that enabled him to view ministry in a different light. He labored at Eastside Church of Christ for 4 years and now preaches at the Montgomery Avenue Church of Christ in Springfield, Ohio. He is married to Erica Gooden, who he loves dearly. His mission is to help others to have a clear understanding of the Word and grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. Brother Gooden obtained his master's degree in theology in May of 2013 from United Theological Seminary and also works as a chaplain. His title tonight is Jesus Promises His Faithful Church. Brother Andrew Gooden.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I don't need a mic tonight.
No. But we're recording you if you don't use the mic, you can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
No. They're recording.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, bro. I'll see if I can.
I'm just an hour here. I don't
know
what's going on.
I'm usually moving around at Montgomery Avenue Church of Christ a lot. You all excuse me, but we bring you greetings from Montgomery Avenue Church of Christ, where I labor there for 6 years. I love that church, and I just love the Church of Christ, period. I love teaching and preaching because my role as a minister is to help those to understand the Word of God in a better way so they can see it clearly. And I believe that that is what ministers ought to do. Amen. Amen. So if I happen to come down, excuse me, I try to be loud enough that way, hopefully that they can get me, hear me good enough. All right. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 6, and I'll read this particular text. Hebrews chapter 6, and we will read verses 13 through 19. And I love, I forgot her name, but she makes a wonderful, wonderful banana pudding. You all know who she is. And I look forward every year for her coming to bring banana pudding or the chocolate cake. She is a wonderful, wonderful cook, and we appreciate her very much. If you have your Bibles, I just want to read this particular, these passages, and then I will go into the lesson for tonight. And thank the elders and the minister here for the invitation. I was here a couple of years back and I enjoyed that time, so I want to say thank you. Hebrews chapter 6, we look at verse number 13 through verse number 19. The Bible says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. An oath for confirmation is to them and an end of all strife. Worrying God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I apologize. I have to leave this mic. I apologize.
This Hebrew writer is writing this particular text of encouragement. He's trying to encourage Christians to stay on board with God. If you look at verse number 9, you'll see where he talks about that he has confidence in them. He's persuaded in them to do better things, because he's trying to encourage them to hold on to this promise that we have. All right? Then when we get to verse number 10 through 12, he lets them know, he says that God is able to see, and he knows about all of the love that they are doing for God and all of the things that they are doing in his body. And then he tells them that you need to hold on and endure it until the end. And then he talks about that they let them know, don't be slothful, don't get lazy, because the devil is trying to cause you to slip away from God. So he tells them to hold on. He tells them to endure until the end. And he's trying to encourage them to make sure that they hold on to this promise. Then by the time he gets to verse number 13, he gives them a resume. You with me tonight? He gives them a resume. And he says, let me show you some things that God has done. That way you can understand that if he does do it for Abraham, he'll also do it for you. You with me? And then he says that God made a promise to Abraham that he will bless his seed, that they will be blessed through all nations. And he says that he made this promise with an oath, and he promised himself, and he says, I promise to you, Abraham, and through Abraham, as he endured and he was patiently waiting for God year after year after year after year, but God was able to uphold his promise to Abraham. You with me tonight? And then he says, when we get to verse number 13, then he says that as he makes this promise to Abraham, and he tells them that now, since I made this promise to Abraham, I will make it now with you. You with me? And then he says, now since I made it with you, I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because the promise is there for you. If you don't receive the promise, you have the ability to make the decision not to hold on to God's promise. You are ready to look at this text. All right, let's look at this text, and I'm going to go slow with you so I can help you to understand this text, because This is how I preach, because if I don't get you to understand the text, then I haven't done my job. Amen. We have to get you to understand the text. It's one thing to preach, but it's another thing to make sure that you understand what God is trying to convey to his Christians. All right? You with me? So I'm going to read it. Then I'm going to explain it, then I'm going to read it, then I'm going to explain it, then I'm going to read it, then I'm going to explain it. How about that? Is that all right? All right. You all in Hebrews chapter 6? If you don't have the Bible, I'll read it for you. All right. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 16. He says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath, for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. What he's saying right there, he's saying that men back then during the old times, and also now, people swear. And you do it in the courthouse. Y'all go to the courthouse? Y'all get to a courthouse, and they say, raise your hand, and they say, you swear by God and hold the truth, and what you say, so help me God. Y'all know all of that. Amen. And you say, I do. So what happened, what they did during the old times, they would swear to God when they make a statement, and it made and it caused the strife to go away. Alright? Because when somebody had a strife, or when somebody had some confusion, they would make sure that the strife go away by saying, I promise to you that I didn't do that. It's like your child saying to you, I promise to you that I didn't eat that piece of chicken, mama. And I swear before God that I didn't eat that piece of chicken. Alright? And it was different during those times that when you swear to God or when you make that oath toward God, that people would leave you alone. Alright? And people would trust you more because that's what you say. Alright? You with me so far? Then he says in verse number 17, he says, wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. So he says, now if you can understand what the meaning did by making a promise and by swearing by the oath, he says, God did this more abundantly, which means he did it even more than what men do today. So he says, now I made a promise to the heirs of who are we? We are the heirs. Alright? We are the heirs of promise. And God is saying that more abundantly, I did it even more to make a promise to you to make sure that you understand that I'm coming back and I will save you if you hold on to God's unchanging hand. You all understand that? Alright? And then he says in verse number 17, said, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Immutability means unchangeable. It can't change. So when God set the wheel in motion by saying that I promise that I will save you, He made it immutable to let us know that there's nothing that can change. So the promise is that there's nothing that will change his will to let us know that we will be saved if we hold on to God's unchanging hand. You all see that? So he says immutability, and then he says, by two immutable things. What are those two immutable things? The two immutable things is the promise and the oath. God made a promise, and then he put an oath on top of the promise to let us know that I'm going to give you salvation, but I'm encouraging you to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Don't move left, don't move right, just continue to stay with God, because I won't change.
So I expect you not to change. You see that? I won't change. I'm going to continue to do what I'm going to do. I promise with the hope that I'm coming back to save you in the last day. I promise with an oath that I will set up these mansions in heaven. I promise that when I come back, you will rise with me on the clouds and go to heaven. I promise. I'm making a promise, and on top of the promise, I'm giving an oath to it. You see that? All right? And then he says what? And then he says, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to what?
Lie.
To lie. You see that? We might have a strong what? Consolation. We'll have a strong consolation, which means that God will console us. He will assure us and let us know that through these strong consolations of the promise, through these strong consolations of the oath, I promise, and I make an oath on top of the promise, that I will save you, but you got to stay with God. You got to stay with God. I'm going to keep my promise. Will you keep your promise? I can't lie. I'm giving you a promise. I'm giving you an oath. And I give you a resume by showing you that I proved myself through Abraham. So if I can prove myself through Abraham, I'll prove myself to you if you hold on to God's unchanging hand. You all see that? And then he says, in verse number 18, he says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. And let me help you understand when he says fled for refuge. He's talking to Jews. So he's related back to the Old Testament. So when he says fled for refuge, there were three cities on one side of Jordan. There were three cities on the other side of Jordan. These cities were called the city of refuge. All right? You with it so far? And then what happened is that when a person, they were in Canaan, when a person killed somebody accidentally, they can run to this city of refuge, all right, because it was manslaughter. Now, if they killed somebody premeditated, then they would die. But if they kill somebody accidentally, or if it was manslaughter, they can run to this city of refuge. There were three cities on one side of the Jordan, and there were three cities on the other side of the Jordan. And when they ran to this city, they were saved. All right? And then the elders would come together. And when the elders came together, they would decide if it was manslaughter or if it was murder. Now, when they decided that it was manslaughter, that's when this person that went to the city of refuge, he was safe, and no, the avenger could not go into that city to kill him. What is the point that this Hebrew writer is trying to make? The Church of Christ is the city of refuge. Because the Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we have sinned, God has made a city of refuge, which is the Church of Christ, that we can go to and be safe. Amen. And God makes sure that we say, that when they go to this refuge, they can go to this refuge, and they have to stay in this city of refuge until The priest died. You see that? Until the priest died. When the priest died, they were able to go back home. What is that saying to us? That being in the city of refuge, Jesus as our high priest, he died on the cross for the sins of the world, and now we have the ability, and now we have the right, because we are heirs of the promise. When you are heir, you have the right to the inheritance of somebody that dies. So we are heirs of the promise. So when Jesus Christ died, he made us an heir through accepting him and through baptism. And now we can have the promise to be saved.
Amen.
You see that? Because he got a promise. And on top of that, he made an oath. You see that? All right. Y'all with me? I'm still with you. Y'all just like that. That's good. Okay. And then he says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set. This writer is basically saying, lay hold upon it. When it says lay hold, he's talking about take dominion of your hope. Take dominion of your salvation. Don't let life control you, but you control it. Take hold, take dominion. You are the one in charge of your salvation, and you take hold of your hope. Hope means expectation. You expect God to save you. Why? Because you made the promise, and he made an oath. You with me? So you have the hope, which is expectation. You expecting God to give you the promise, which means you are willing to wait on it, just like Abraham waited patiently on the promise. Now you can wait with your hope set on the promise before you, but you can't wait and see it.
Amen.
You got to wait by continuing to stay with God. All right? And then he says in verse number 19, which hope we have an anchor of the soul. How many of y'all know about anchors? We know about anchors. We have a boat, we throw the anchor out, and the anchor goes down deep. When the anchor goes down deep, what does it do?
It
sticks in the ground and it knots. And what is the what does the anchor supposed to do for the boat? To keep it from drifting away. You see that? We have an anchor of our soul to God. That when we throw our anchor out to God and we tie into God, God will hold us and keep us from drifting away. You see that? That if you that's what he's talking about when he's saying the anchor of your soul. Your whole soul has to be in God. You have to put your soul in it. You have to put your heart in it. You have to put all of yourself in it. You can't just be soulful and expect God to give you a promise. Jesus Christ died for you, and he gave himself for you, and he expects you to die for him by giving your life up from sin. You see that? So you put your soul in it. You have your anchor tied into God, and let him keep you secure. Let him keep you steadfast. Let him keep you steady, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's how you get your promise. You see that? And then he says, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which entereth into that within the veil. What is he talking about when he says within the veil? He's talking to Jews. So he's relating to a veil during the time of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was on the cross and he gave up the ghost and he gave his last breath. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 that the earth shook. The Bible says that it got dark. The Bible says that people came out of the grave and went into the temple. And the Bible says that the veil rent from top to bottom. And what does that mean? That means that now there is no more Jews or Gentiles, but now we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now see that? So when we accept Christ, because now he's our high priest, since he's our high priest, we don't need to give our lambs to a high priest to make sacrifices on the cross, because Jesus is not only our high priest, but he's also our lamb. So he's our high priest, and he's also the lamb, and he gives himself up, and he goes through the veil, because nobody else could go through this holy of holies through the veil. But when it rent from top to bottom, now Jesus is saying that anybody can go through and come boldly to the throne of grace. There are three things that Jesus is trying to get us to see as he speaks through this Hebrew writer. Number one, he's trying to show us that he is our refuge. He's our refuge. Number two, he's trying to show us that he is our anchor. And number three, he's trying to show us that he's our forerunner, which means he goes before us through the veil. Now we can approach Jesus Christ and come boldly to the throne of grace. You all see that? Now let me show you something. I'm through with the Bible. Y'all got people over here?
Yes, sir.
Do this together. You mind coming up here for a minute? To get it, you didn't have to go to work, you didn't have to cut my yard, you didn't have to clean my house, you didn't have to do nothing to get that now. I just gave it to you because I think you are a nice guy. Is that all right? All right. Now this is what I want you to do for me. I want you to give that $5 away. And I promise you, and if you give that away, I will give you more. And you can give that to any kid around you. I don't care who you give it. You can give it to your best friend. But when you give it to your best friend, I want you to come back up here, and I promise that I'll give you more. All right? Now, when you go get any money, come back up here, okay? You can understand what I'm saying. You understand me, Ada? All right. You gave it away? All right, now come on back up here. Good job, man. You're about to mess up my little skin. Now,
gave him that $5. Did he earn it? He didn't earn it at all. That's what Jesus did for us. He gave us $5, which means he died for us. We didn't earn it. We didn't do nothing to merit that. He just did it because he loved us very much. Now you see him standing up and he's waiting. Why is he waiting? Because I promised him. So he's relying on that what?
God's promise.
That's why he's not leaving. This is what God wants us to do when we go to the city of refuge. He wants us to stay in the city and wait for the promise. It's not here yet, but we have to be what?
Patient.
And that's why I'm waiting to not give it to him right away, because I want him to understand what patience is all about. All right. You're doing good, honey. Wait. All right. Here you go. All right. If you trust me, you believe in my promise. Now, why did I go through all of that? That's exactly what God wants us to do for him. He didn't, when God died for us, we didn't deserve it. He just gave it to us. Now, God wants us to give our soul back to him. And what are you giving away for God now? Are you saying, God, thank you, but let me go do what I want to do? Lord, thank you for that $5, but this is my life. And what we do in life, we will hold on to the $5. But God is basically saying, if you just give that $5 up, I got something bigger than that. And it's the promise of salvation. That's why he told his disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And while I go, stay in the city of refuge. And when I come again, I will receive you unto myself.
Amen.
How many of us are holding on to our eyes? How many are holding on to what we want to do in life, and it's distracting us from God? And we refuse to give it up. God is saying, I promise, if you just give it up, I promise I got something bigger for you. I got something bigger for you, and I promise. I give you my word. That's what God said. I give you my word, I promise. And I not only do I promise, I put an oath on top of the promise. See, in the old times, when people made an oath, if they went against the oath, they had to die. That's how serious making an oath was. See, they don't care nobody they put an oath. Amen. But he makes an oath on top of the promise. And he said, I promise you, if you just hold on to God, I promise you, if you just give up yourself and die daily for me, I promise you,
I will give you salvation. Now, if you're not in the church, you need to be. Because God made a promise to you, but he can't fulfill that promise to you if you're not baptized. Because you're not in the city of refuge. You already seen, you're just not running. And the city of refuge is the church of Christ.
Amen.
And that's where your protection is. That's where your salvation is. That's where your faith is. That's where your security is. And that's where Jesus is.
Amen.
He's in the city of refuge. If you are here, you're subject to the call. Won't you come as we gather to